Philippians 3, again, we've been going through in this new year talking about our theme of thriving, and not just surviving, but thriving. And boy, that should be the mark of every Christian, every child of God, that I'm not just trying to get by every day. I'm not just trying to make it, or some people say fake it till you make it. I'm trying to actually thrive, and I'm actually trying to lead other people in that. And that should be your goal. And that's why we encourage you often and really try to push and emphasize this Bible reading schedule and to push and emphasize your prayer life and other things like that, because it'll greatly help you in your thriving in this dark world we live in. Now today, I was going to do kind of a Super Bowl message, but I thought, nonsense, I'm not even going to mess with that. I'm going to just keep on trucking through the Word of God. But thinking about the world today, they're out and about right now. Now, by the way, it's, what, 11:15, and where they're at, they're down in New Orleans for the Super Bowl, and they're already half-cocked. I mean, they're already half-drunk, aren't they? As they don't even know where they are, some of these people. I'm thinking about that. They're looking for something. They're looking for some answer, as we sang just a minute ago. And we have the answer. We can look at this. Now, as we're continuing to look at this, Philippians 3, and notice what he says. Oh, let's jump down. I don't want to read all of it. Let's go to verse 13. Would you go there? Philippians 3:13. These are very familiar verses, I'm sure, to you. But notice Paul is speaking to a church. By the way, this church he greatly loved and he admired. He says, "Brethren, well, I count not myself to have apprehended." What's he say? I haven't arrived yet. I'm not preaching to you like I'm arrived. I'm not a super Christian. I'm telling you. What does he say? "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before." If you're going to thrive in the new year, again, you have to put aside the old. Well, because the devil and the adversary and the world and the flesh are all good at that. Hey, they tap you on the shoulder and say, "Hey, remember, you're not good at that. You're going to fail at that. You tried that last year. You tried being faithful every Sunday. Didn't work. You tried to be faithful. You tried to work at your marriage, and all it did was fall flat on its face." Forget that. Press on the upward way. But verse 14 we're going to look at this morning, and it's very familiar. I press toward, notice the mark, for what? The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded," he says. "And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you," he says. "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." But notice verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, their sensual, they feed themselves, the flesh, and they whose glory is in their shame," here it is, "who mind earthly things." They're mindful about temporal, earthly things. But then he says this, "for our conversation," now that's your lifestyle, that's your interaction with others, "is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Okay, what I want you to see with me this morning is this, that we should press toward the mark. I read that and I think about the word thrive. I don't know about you, but thriving and pressing toward. Now, Paul, as we studied this last week, a person who really could have said, "You know what, I'm going to just put it into neutral. I've done enough for the Lord. I've started enough churches. I've endured enough pain, enough persecution. I've dealt with all this nonsense and junk." He could have just sat back and relaxed. There's an 80-year-old man, retired, living off 401k, had everything, and he decided to take the flock to the backside of the desert, didn't he? We just read through that in our Bible reading. And he sees a bush burning, except it wasn't consumed, and he says, "I will now turn aside and see what this is." He turns aside and it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him." He said, "Take your shoes off, you're on holy ground." Now later, that same angel, we believe, says the same thing to Joshua. "What would you have me to do? What would you want to tell thy servant?" He says, "Take your shoes off, you're on holy ground." It's a great picture for us to say, God is enough. What do you want me to do? What should I have? What tools do I need? What talent do I need? Paul says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Just give him that shell. Here you go. That's all I got. That's all I want. Nothing impresses God. And that man, Moses, came to the backside of the desert, and God revealed to him the will of God to him. Paul says, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. I'm pressing towards the mark. I want to clarify a few things to you this morning and hopefully be a help to you. But as we come back to verse 14 in particular, I want to encourage you to memorize this verse. It's very easy to memorize. It's a small verse. But think about what he says. Now, first and foremost, he says what? Notice the position, I. First word, I. Paul never taught or preached anything without he himself doing it. Remember, he will say this in the book of Philippians, what you've seen in me, what you've watched in me, all of it. I've taught you all of that. Everything you've seen in me, do. He'll say to another church, he'll say this, if I don't follow Christ, don't follow me. And that's where we are today. Paul says, you feel frustrated with trying to get the people in your life to do the things you want them to do. And you got to reel it back a little bit and go, wait, hang on. That's not my responsibility. What's my responsibility? Me, myself, and I. That's all it is. I press towards the mark. He doesn't say you press towards the mark. Now, church, press towards the mark. Now, church, get right. Speak up. Listen up. Sit up. Pay attention. He doesn't belittle them. He doesn't bash them over the head with those things. He says what? I press towards the mark. Oh, also, I've not apprehended. Also, remember that I went through all these trials and tribulations, except that I'm still, verse 9, be found of him. Not having my, notice, own righteousness. But that which is through the faith of Christ. I love that. That I may, verse 10, know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship. Boy, you talk a lot about yourself, Paul. When we talk about ourselves, it should always be in that context of I am what? I want to do more for God. I hope that you see a good example in me. It's the position, if you will. We said last week in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, none of these things move who? Me. I don't count my life dear unto myself. So what? I might finish my course with joy. That's a little self-centered. Sure it is. But he says, I'm concerned about when I stand before Jesus at the judgment seat. I'm concerned about that. And you should be as well. And so we think about here, he says, I want you to understand my position is that I am an example and I'm always aware of that. I'm always aware. You know Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live, I live in the faith, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We go on and on. I have so many verses, but we'll skip ahead for sake of time. We think about, he says, notice the position of where I am. If we're going to thrive and move forward and press on, go forward, if you will, to hit our mark, it's got to come back to me. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, I love, but he says that, right? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's what it is. I want to please the Lord. And when you please him, you'll please everyone else you're supposed to please. Here's the position. He talks about his weariness and painfulness, his watchings, often his hunger, thirst, fastings in 2 Corinthians 11. Who's weak? Am I not weak? Who's offended? Do I burn not? Some people thought Paul was a super Christian. Paul wasn't. He was, I believe, one of the greatest examples of being a Christian. But he says, listen, I still have feelings. When people talk about me and make fun of me, and they belittle me, and in one occasion they belittled him by the way he looked, his physical features, and you know they said, boy, his preaching is powerful. We read his letters and his epistles, and man, he's powerful. But then he came and visited our church, and we saw him in person, and we chuckled. You know, this guy, he's kind of pathetic to look at. They mocked him and made fun of him, and all these things. He said, do I burn not? Frustrated. If I need glory, I'll glory of the things which concern my infirmities. He goes on and on. My friends, today, again, remember this. It's about you. We're always taught it's not about you. You shouldn't think about yourself. Yes, you should. Think about yourself today. Start thinking about where's the position of that I Where is it at? Am I in the right place? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Well, you don't know my kids. No, how are you doing? You don't know my husband. You know, how are you doing? How am I doing? It's easy to step back and look around, and today people are going to be looking all over the place. Well, look what they got. Boy, I wish I was an NFL player. Boy, I wish I had all that money. I wish, no, you don't. More money, more problems, right? I sometimes joke around, but Lord, just let me experience it for just a couple days. You know, I could handle it, right, Lord? He goes, No. Lord, let me manage a couple $1 million just for a week. No, you'd be broke by Friday, right? I mean, no. There's people looking around, and they're looking and comparing themselves with other people, with other churches and other things and other song leaders. Good night. Other people, other preach, boy. I get invited to preach at different places, and I always joke with the people, but I say, are you guys sure? I think you sure you asked me? You got the right person, you know? And I try to be a blessing, but you think about it. He says, listen, remember, it's not about them. It's about you. Are you there? Are you where you're supposed to be? We've heard this time and time again. Every time somebody in the Scriptures has a confrontation with the Lord, what's the Lord do? Hey, go ahead and start judging everyone around you. Go ahead and start looking at, no, what's he do? He says, you. Moses says, me? Noah said, me? Joshua said, me? Yeah, you. Samuel said, me? Me? Eli says, he calls out another time, answer this way, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And the Lord revealed to Samuel, you remember the story. David said, me? I'm the runt of the family. I'm the least of the least. I'm not like my brothers. He says, that's exactly why I want you. Why? Because David would lay out on the grassy knoll and stare at the stars at night and said, wow, when I consider the heavens that thou hast ordained, the sun and the moon, the stars and all of that, I ask the question, what is man that thou art mindful of who? Me. He didn't say them, me. Go ahead and take a little examination today, if you will, myself especially, put the magnifying glass upon yourself and say, okay, Lord, where am I? Take a little checkup from the neck up, we often say. Where am I? Okay, notice the second word he uses, press. I like this. Press indicates opposition. If you get around something that you know is not sturdy and you press on it, it's probably not going to be a good day for you, you know. This thing's pretty heavy. I could move it with two hands. I've tried and hurt myself. This thing is heavy. You don't go and lean or press against something that you know isn't strong. Many a times I've done that, and several times walked into a newly, freshly constructed house, and I should have known better. The painter's in there spraying. And what is the first thing I do? I put my hand on the wall, and then you kind of play it off like, I should be better than that. And he comes by, what in the world? Who put their hand there? I have no one. I don't know. Well, those boneheads over here. I don't know. You think about that. You press. He says, I'm pressing, pressing, pushing. There's indication of opposition. I said this so many times, and this is something that I still am struggling with learning, but in the Christian life as you serve the Lord, listen, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, not might, will. Peter says, you will face fiery trials, not might, will. And yet so many of us get shocked and surprised when we face battles and opposition. Just step out by faith and do something for God. Start trying to work on your marriage and see what happens. It doesn't get better. It sometimes gets worse. And you go, but you step back and go, wait, this is something spiritual. Start working on your personal walk with God. And notice, Paul says, I press. I don't need to go through, but he speaks to us in another portion of Scripture about all, in 2 Corinthians in particular, about all that he's gone through. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were shamefully entreated at this city. He's speaking now to the church at Thessalonica. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. I like that. He says, church at Thessalonica, you heard about what happened at Philippi, right? Oh yeah, we heard. Now, you remember what happened. In Acts 16, they take Paul and his companions and at Philippi for preaching the word, and they take and they beat them openly. And he says, and treated us shamefully. In those days, what they would do is actually they would wear basically kind of undergarments like long johns. And then over that, they would have like a coat or a shirt, a heavier shirt. And then over that, they'd have what's called a cloak, which would be like a coat. Well, they took off the top half to beat them and whip them. In some cases, they would actually strip them down all the way publicly and then beat them and whip them, not only on the back, but on other parts. So Paul says they shamefully treated us shamefully, embarrassed us in front of everybody. And you know the story. They throw him in jail. Well, Paul gets a person and says, hey, listen now. Remember, I want you to tell the head guy here that I'm a Roman citizen. And if you were to beat publicly like this a Roman citizen, you'd be in trouble. And the governor of that city would have been basically taken out and executed because he broke the law, whatever the case is. So they came to Paul anyways, said, Paul, we found out you're a Roman citizen and we apologize. Just be on your way now. Paul says, you're not going to just kick us out now. And we see what took place. And Paul says, you saw and you heard about how we suffered and what we went through at Philippi. Except that, what's he say? We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God because of that. He's saying he's pressing. There's the problem. There's the issues. There's the difficulties. Okay, there's the difficulties with school. The issues and problems with work and finances and relationships. If you're where you're supposed to be with the Lord and you're facing these oppositions where you're pressing, you're in a good place. You're in a good position. If you're not living for the Lord and you've been involved with things you shouldn't be involved with and you're pressing, there might be a problem. I remind you of this, none of God's doors have push on them. So there's a fine line here. Okay, how do I decipher this? If none of God's doors have push on them, then I'm supposed to what? Stand back and wait. The psalmist says, wait on the Lord. Again, I say wait. Patience. Waiting. Except when we live for God and wait for Him, things come at us that we have to press forward. We know that, okay? What opposition are you facing today? If you're going to thrive in the new year, are you pressing towards something? If you're sitting back on your laurels and having a good time, no problems, no issues, nothing to be up in arms about, well, you might want to take a little examination. Are you standing for Christ? If you stand for Christ in this world, they're going to hate you. Jesus said that. Are you getting up and spending time in Scripture? If you do that, the Bible contradicts your life, and it's irritating. You read the Bible, it frustrates you because you go, well, I don't want to do that, Lord. I kind of like what I'm doing here. You're pressing on and pushing forward. Notice what he says then. He says, press toward the mark. Towards a direction. Toward is a deliberate action. I looked the word toward or toward in the Bible, in the concordance, and there's a lot of verses about it. You know what it says about Lot? Lot put his tent or faced his tent toward Sodom. Abraham says, well, which side of the valley you want to take? And he looks over and he says, well, I'll take the lush and green and watered part. Abraham, in his grace and his kindness, says, okay, well, we'll take this side. You know, sometimes in life when you're given the dry, dusty ground, it's God's will, it's better than being in the lush valley, if you will. God has a perfect place. I said this. He has a prepared place for the prepared person. And God has a place for all of you. You're going through a dry season right now. I know some of you are. You're going through a difficult season right now. I know that. Keep pressing forward and keep focused on the Lord. And He will, what? As we said on not last Wednesday before, He shall lift you up. Now, He put His tent toward Sodom. What happened? Well, over time, he kept staring down at that city. And it always starts with the eyes, by the way, looking. Eve saw the fruit. Doesn't say she tasted it or licked it first. No, she saw the fruit, that it was good. Starts with the eyes, doesn't it? Says Samson went down and he saw that girl. Went back to mom and dad, said, mom and dad, get me that girl. They said, but son, she's not a Jew. There's a lot of good Jewish girls here. He says, yeah, but not that pretty. I want that. And then she batted her big old brown eyes, blink, blink, and he went, wow. And it caused a whole bunch of problems, didn't it? You know what they did to Samson when he died? What'd they do to him? Took his eyes out. Started with the eyes, ended with the eyes. But I thought about that. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, and over time, looking and watching and spying and seeing the parties they had every night and the girls and all kinds of, he slowly made his way down there. Paul says, I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm pressing toward what God has for me. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us. That word commend means demonstrated. He didn't just talk about it. People talk about it. I love you. I love you. This is how marriages fail, because it's all talk. I love you. But show me, at some point, show me you love me. Right? At some point, you've got to show that love. It's all talk. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, he didn't wait for us to get cleaned up because we could never clean ourselves up. He didn't wait for us to get right because we could never get right enough. He didn't wait for that. He bridged the gap, as we often say that. You and I were enemies of God. We had to have something bridge the gap. That bridge is Jesus Christ. We went through him. You know that. But he demonstrated love toward us. Notice that. It's a direction. He didn't just demonstrate his love. Here you go. Here you go. No, it was deliberate. It was there. Again, if you're going to affect anybody else with the gospel and lead them to the Lord and bring them to church, it's got to be toward them. It can't just be random, if you will. Sporadic. Deliberately pointed, deliberately working, deliberately attempting, whatever you need to do. It's got to be deliberate. And that's what he says. I'm pressing towards something. I'm going forward. If you were to stop Paul at any point in his journeys, at any point you were to stop him on the side of the road from Corinth to Philippi, to Philippi to Thessalonica, from Thessalonica to Colossae to Rome, at any point they would say, what is your purpose? What are you doing? He would say, I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm pushing forward the upward way, pressing on the upward way. I'm going forward. Do you have a mark today? Are you going forward? He says the mark then. There's the target. There's a target for us to aim at. You know what I love about the Bible is that it has a target. The Bible isn't just random. We're learning this in our Bible Institute. It's not just randomly thrown together. It's organized. We call it the canon of Scripture. It's put in order for a reason. It's legit, it's real, it's authentic, it's proven, all of those things. We call it inspired, preserved. But it's a mark. He gives us a target to shoot at. I took my wife out shooting years ago, and she never held a gun in her life. And she had a little, I believe it was like a little 380 or something, little gun. And I took her out shooting. And I said, we made a little makeshift target. And I said, now, honey, this is how you hold the gun, and here's what you do, aim at the, and I tell you, she hit the target on the first shot. I mean, bullet, boom. And I looked at her. She looked at me, did I do good? I said, you did all right. You did all right. And she did it again, boom. And I said, was that good? I said, well, that was all right. And she said, okay, your turn. And I'm going, oh, man. So, you know, I stick my boom, and I missed it. And she said, oh, I don't think you hit it. I said, well, just give me a minute. I'm just warming up. I tell you what, boom, boom. I unloaded the whole clip, and I hit it like once, and it was off, you know. And I went, she said, boy, I think I did better than you. I said, yeah, well, you know, beginner's luck, you know. I tell you what, she did it again, hit it again. I'm going, what in the world are you doing? I thought about hitting that mark. You and I have a mark we're aiming at. Isn't that great that the Lord gave us a mark? He didn't say randomly do this and randomly do that. You see people today that have no job and have no real purpose in life. Are they happy? No. They're miserable. You see these shows all the time on TV. They have no job or they have issues and problems. They don't know what to do. They're living off the government. They're unhappy. They're miserable. I commend some of our young people in here that are going to college right now and that some of you still in school, high school, because you have a purpose and a goal. You could just be floating around, right? I mean, you could just be doing your own thing like most of your friends are. They're not getting up early. They're not going to school. They're not working a part-time job. And where are they at today? Right now, they're probably smoking something and messing around. They got no life. They got no purpose. God says, I've given you a target. Now, that's the love of God. Only a loving, gracious God would give us a target, wouldn't he? Here you go. This is what I want you to aim at and hit. Oh, you missed. That's okay. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace of God. I'm going to give you my grace, unmerited favor. Lord, but I'm not good at that. Well, keep trying. It's okay. Keep going. It's okay. God has your best interests in mind 24/7, 365. Remember that. Well, it doesn't seem like it. Keep going. Paul says, I press on. Aren't you glad Paul didn't quit when he got to the first city? You know the first city he came to, he faced opposition. It says there in Acts chapter number 9 that immediately after he came and had that great encounter with the Lord Jesus, it said after he went into the house, Ananias came, prayed over him, all the things that happened, scales fell from his eyes, he could see again, although we believe he had a lot of eye problems later on. What's it say? He immediately, the next day, went into the synagogue and began to preach Christ. The thing he labored, the thing he murdered people over was Christ. And he went in and began preaching the gospel. You know what they did to him? They didn't pat him on the back. They kicked him out of the church. Barnabas had to come along and say, hey, brother, I believe you. Well, oh, thank you. Nobody else does. The next city he goes to, he's literally beaten. He's left for dead. Paul says, I press. I'm so glad he didn't quit. We wouldn't have what we have today. I'm so glad that Jesus, in one portion of the gospel account, it says he went a little further. He stopped at the garden, knelt down and prayed. Great sweat drops of blood rolled down his forehead. In agony, he cried out, not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. I'm so glad he didn't quit in the garden, aren't you? I'm so glad that when that great heavy cross was put on his back after being beaten, he didn't quit. Boy, I'm so glad. I'm so glad in agony on the cross as he hung there and the one thief looked at him and said, get us down, you fake, you fraud. You're nothing but a scam artist. You're nobody to be hanging on this cross. You're not God. You're not the Messiah. I'm so glad that other thief looked at him and said, "What? Oh, I believe you. I know it. I've seen the darkness. I've seen the earthquake. I've seen all of this. Lord, remember me." Lord didn't say, too late now, sucker. Too late now. You just mocked me. You just spit at me. Too late now. I'm so glad on one night I knelt down beside a bed weeping and crying because of where I was and my sin and my loser type of a life. Had nothing going in my life. All I could figure out was what to smoke next, what to drink next, who to be with next. That's all I had. And I'm so glad that I knelt down and said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I didn't even know what I was praying. And all of you in here did the same. Maybe not in that context, but something like that. You had a broken marriage, a broken home, and you knelt down and said, oh God, would you help me? Would you fix this? And God said, yeah. He went a little further. I'm so glad that Jesus gives us a target to aim at. And don't you forget today, friends, when you wept before God and you promised Him that you would serve Him and you said, God, if you'll get me out of this nonsense, this mess, this dirty, rotten life, that I'll serve you. Don't forget about that. Don't forget about the promises you made to God and say, God, you've now given me a target. For some, it may be the target of reaching others for Christ. For some, it may be a target of becoming a better father, of becoming a better student, of becoming a better child. For some, the target may be, listen, I don't have all the talent in the world, but I can do something for God. And boy, if I were to die tomorrow and stand before Jesus Christ, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, you'll be ushered in. You take your last breath on earth, you're ushered immediately into the presence of the Lord. That you say, you know what, Lord, I was in church yesterday. Lord, I was where I was supposed to be. I was doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Anyways, I want to say, there's a mark. But also, lastly, let me say, there's a prize. There's a prize. We better wrap it up. There's a prize. 1 Corinthians 9:24. I like this. Know ye not that they which run in a race, run all. Everyone's running a race. Notice what he says though. But one receives the prize. Yes, thank you. We all run in a race. It's called the race of life. Everybody runs the race. It don't matter. If you're breathing air today, you're running a race. You have one life to live. No do-overs. No handicaps. No mulligans. You can't redo it. One life to live. Notice, but one receives the prize. One. I've told the story before, but the story of the lady that ran the Boston Marathon. And she skipped the corners. And she got hurt. And she, the last little trek of the race, she jumped back into the race. And they said, we didn't see you in certain parts of the race. And they began to examine and look at video and look at picture. And sure enough, she cheated and jumped back in the race right at the end. And as I said that, did they come over and say, just keep the trophy? It's okay. We know you're frustrated. We know you had a hard day. Just go ahead and keep the medal. What'd they do? They ripped it off. Well, they didn't rip it off, but took it off her neck. Nah. We don't run that race. There's one that receives the prize. There's one we know as Christians, and we've studied this before, but we have five potential crowns that we can win as a believer. We receive those crowns. We get to heaven. What do? We will take those crowns and we will cast them at Jesus' feet in a form of great worship. It's the very least we can do. They represent what we did for Christ on earth. Rather pathetic, but the Lord receives it. Okay, it's a great form of worship. There is a prize for us. The disciples come to Jesus one day and say, Lord, we left all and followed you. We stopped fishing. We left our wives and family at home. We've gone on these journeys with you. What's in it for us? And God, in his great mercy and patience with these guys, said what? Not only what you have now on this earth, peace, joy, all of you got to see, but says what? But also eternal life. We have something waiting for us. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the great Sermon on the Mount, what's he say? Lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust and thieves don't break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. We lay up a lot of treasures on earth, if you're like me. A lot of things we find fancy and shiny and we want, we lust after, we look at, we think about constantly. And he says, listen, remember the prize. Paul says this, I press toward the mark for the prize. They say, well, what prize is that, Paul? Surely it's not money because you look pretty pathetic. Surely it's not fame because everywhere you go, people hate you. By the way, Paul lived a life of great difficulty. We think that he went from this city to this city and everyone, whoa, Paul, wow, we're great to have you here, like he's a famous evangelist. It wasn't like that. It was after he died that everyone thinks Paul's this great person. You know. And you think about Paul says, I press toward the mark. I'm aiming at the goal. I'm thriving in 2025. I'm pushing forward. For what? There's a prize in it. And that's not the prize here. We're laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Oh, I have many verses, but I must skip. He goes on, you know, in 1 Corinthians 3, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it'll be revealed by fire. Fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. There it is, sort, not type. Sort. What is it? The authenticity of it. Let's test it. It's nice. It's wood, hay, and stubble, but it looks good, doesn't it? Well, we need to test it. It's like you buy those jack stands at Harbor Freight. You're not going to get under a car with those jacks. Okay, you start to hear them creak and crumble. You use, God bless Harbor Freight, but their stuff isn't always the best quality. But you think about sometimes he said, let's test it. Okay, let's put it through the fire. And if you're like me, I talk a big game and talk a lot of stuff, but there comes a day in my life when God says, okay, let's put that to the test. Okay, you built that wall. Let's put some weight on it. Let's see how it's going to hold up. You said these things. Now, let's see how it turns out. You raised these kids. Now, let's see how they turn out. You've done that. You know that. There's a prize, friend. And I want to encourage some of you older folks, and I thank God for you. You're such a blessing to me, all of you. But there is a prize. there's a prize. I know that you see, it seems like, and you mentioned to me, you don't seem like, there's not a lot of places for you to serve. There's not maybe, you don't know what to do in these days. Stay faithful. Stay going. Stay active. Push on the upward way. Peter says in these days, these last days, these latter days in which all of us live, we should be living in the will of God and not the lust of the flesh. I have a prize waiting for me somewhere. As I said this many times, I've tried to share the gospel with people from time to time, and I always mention the gift. The Bible says clearly it's the gift of God. What's your responsibility if I give you a gift or I hand you a gift? Your responsibility is not to reach in your pocket and give me a $20 bill or however much it costs. It's to what? Simply receive it. I could hand you the gift and you just stand there like this. Hey, thanks. And never take it. I'd be offended. Just set it on the chair there. No, I want you to reach out and actually take it and even look in it. Now, if you're like me, sometimes open the card too early. You don't want to do that in front of people. Wait till later. I want to receive the gift. That's all we do. God gave us the gift, somewhat, if you say, a prize. But for those of us serving God, there is a prize. He says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. God is preparing us. We must purge ourselves from these. That's our responsibility. God can give us the target. He can give us the bow and arrow. He can set everything up for us. But if we are not where we're supposed to be, if we don't show up, He's not going to just shoot the arrow for us by proxy. they couldn't be here. In absentia. They're not here today, but I'll go ahead and shoot. No, it's your responsibility. He's provided everything you need. He's given you the arrow. He's given you the Bible. He's given you the target. He has a prize awaiting you, but you've got to show up. I've got to show up. You've got to put forth some effort in this relationship. You've got to put forth some effort in your marriage. You've got to put forth some effort with your children and grandchildren and whatever else it is in our lives. We've got to show up and say, God, I'm ready. I want that prize. And lastly, he says what? I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've done what I'm supposed to do. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, let us be thus minded. Let us be minded on the things of God. Be followers of me. Do what I do. Think about what I think about. I've given you the word. I've taught you those things. Friends, today, are you seeking that? Are you aiming at the right target? So many people today have the wrong target, don't we? Target is expensive, by the way. You been to Target lately? Man, I'll just stick to old Walmart right here. They got it. I said this before. I said, if Walmart doesn't have it, I don't need it, right? It doesn't have it. Okay, you tell me what to buy, Walmart. You tell me what to do. I'm here for you. Do you have the right target? I better stop there. I know you do. And I say this, I'm preaching to people that love the Lord, serving the Lord. I know everybody in this room, as I look around, almost everybody in here loves the Lord, serving the Lord faithfully. And I'm so glad. I'm so thankful. Man, it makes my job a lot easier. But sometimes if you're like me, and again, I say this often, preaching to myself, that I have the wrong target. Listen, work is important. Money is important. I know that. These things are important. Super Bowl to some people is important. Where's your target? And I want to ask you to ask the Lord today, at some point today, Lord, help me clear that up so that I can see the right target. I want to press towards that mark. I want to please you. At one point, Timothy, got a little distracted. That's why he wrote 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Titus got a little off. He says, Titus, come back, teach these things. And he uses the phrase, set in order. There were things out of order in the local church. There was a man that he met, Paul did, in prison. You remember that? Onesimus. He says, what you doing in here? Oh, well, I kind of stole money from my master. What are you doing in here? Paul says, well, I preach the gospel. They beat me and whipped me and threw me in here. And he writes back to Philemon and says, listen, he's now a brother. He received the Lord as a Savior. He's coming back to you. When he gets back to you, he has a letter that I wrote, and he has something he wants to tell you. And he sends him off, and he comes back, and we believe, according to church history, there's reconciliation there with Philemon. Paul says, here's your target. Stay on it. Stay the course. Jesus said, keep focused. Stay focused. Stay faithful. Stay fruitful. Three things every church and every Christian should do. Focused, faithful, and fruitful. Stay at that. And God, soon, I believe soon, he's going to take us all home. Don't you believe that? Amen. Praise God for you. Would you stand with me? I'm so glad to be with you today. I appreciate our church. I really do. I love being here. As I go to other churches, they're great churches. They really are. They're big. Got 350 people, 500 people in the church. Great. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They got fancy stuff. They got all these things. And I appreciate them. And they're doing the work of God. And I pray for them. But you know, my heart always longs to come back here. I love being here. I love this church. I love you folks. You're faithful. And you're friends. You're not just church people. You're friends. And we're a family. And I appreciate you. And I thank God. And I know we together can press toward the mark. God will be pleased with us. Ms. Dawn, would you play a few verses, please, for us? Thank you again. However the Lord's spoken to you today.